everybody. This is Michelle, and on behalf of our pastor, Dr. Jack Graham, it is my privilege to welcome you to our service right here at our Plano campus. Things may look just a little bit differently today. We are joining you from our student ministry building. Our worship center was greatly impacted by the storms here in North Texas, and we cannot wait for the repairs to be finished and to be back in that room real soon. I want to take a moment to welcome all of those joining us from the overflow. Whether you are in the student lobby, the commons, or our beautiful Faith Chapel and around the building, thank you for being at service today. Thank you for making worship a priority for you and your family. If you would like to receive a digital copy of our worship guide, I want to invite you to get your phones out. Text the word guide to 74788. That's guide to 74788, and we'll send you a digital copy so you can stay connected to everything going on right here at Prestonwood. And while you've got your phones out and you're online, take a moment to say hello to those in the chat with you. We've got an amazing online team in there with you. If you have a prayer need, we would love to pray with you and for you, a specific prayer. So fill out our online prayer form, and don't forget to let us know where you're joining us from today. This is going to be an amazing message. Be sure and have a Bible. Be ready to take some notes. Pastor Graham is continuing the Way Home series with a message entitled Saving the Family. What better message than that for us to hear today? Well, this is going to be a great message. And whether you're around the world or around the building, get on your feet, because right now our service begins.
God that never fails will not fail me now. It won't fail me now in the waiting. The same God who's never late is working all things out. You're working all things out. Oh yes, I will lift you high in the lowest valley. Yes, I will bless your name. Oh yes, I will sing for joy when my heart is heavy and all my days. Oh yes, I I count on one thing, I count on one thing. The same God that never fails will not fail me now.
Will not
fail me now in the waiting. The same God who's never late is working all things out. You're working all things out. Oh yes, I will lift you high in the lowest valley. Yes, I will bless your name. Oh yes, I will sing for joy when my heart is heavy and all my days. Oh yes, I will for all my days. Oh yes,
the day the Lord has made, we will rejoice and be glad in it. Why don't you spread the joy, whether you're in the chapel right now or in the commons or right here in this room in the student ministry building. Turn around, greet some folks around you and say, this is God's day. Go ahead and take a seat right now, and we do want to welcome all of you who are not only in this room or these rooms at Prestonwood in Plano, but to all of you who are everywhere worshiping with us right now. We're so glad that you have joined us. And in case you might be wondering out there somewhere why it looks so different, well, we had a major event this week, a storm that struck our community and communities all around us, and you know who live here, it was a horrendous storm. And with high winds up to 90 miles an hour, hurricane force type winds, and many people's houses were hit, and power was out for days for many people, hours for some. But our church was hit extremely hard, including the exterior of the building, and we've taken in water. The building didn't flood. We had some water in some portions flooding, but the primary room, the worship center, did not flood. Someone asked me about that. But what we did, what did happen is we took in a lot of water in the walls. So this week, for example, we're going to be bringing in dehumidifiers. We're going to make sure that that water doesn't stay in the walls, and we're going to dry everything out. And that's going to be a week-long process. And for that reason, I can go ahead and tell you now, we're going to be doing this same good thing next week. And the goal is to get back by Father's Day, which is June the 16th. But we can do this. God is good. He's given us these wonderful buildings. The sacrifices of God's people through a generation have provided, with the hand of God at work, these magnificent facilities. And, you know, it does hurt to see our church buildings hit like this. I mean, one of our staff said to me, you know, I've been in this church for 30 plus years, and it just hurts me to see our building damaged like that. And we know it's just a building, but, you know, this is God's building, and it's a place dedicated. It's a space that, at a place that's been dedicated to the glory of God. And of course, God knows, and God has his hand in all of this, and God allows certain things, storms in our lives to come our way, whether it is like this, a physical or even a personal storm that you may be facing. But God is in control, and we know that, but yet it hurts. So it is a trial. We know many people have suffered much worse loss on a personal level, and we're ministering as a church right now to people in the communities around us, and we'll continue to do that. But it is good for us just to remember that God has given us these wonderful buildings. And let me just say that our staff and volunteers, and in particular, I want to speak of the facilities team, the external facilities team, everyone who works on these buildings every single day, do such an incredible job. And our administrative team led by Alan Monk, just amazing group of people, and our entire staff working. And then just this united force, this front of Prestonwood, the people of Prestonwood who show up and give up their very best to serve the Lord, who give and support and pray, and all of you who are a part of this. So, you know, somebody said, I'm so glad you stayed open today. I said, remember back what I said back at the end of the pandemic? I said, if it's just me and Deb, we will never shut the doors of this church again. So I don't know, but we're going to worship. You know, fact is, you don't need a building to worship. We can worship right out here in the parking lot. But that doesn't minimize the fact that we have these wonderful facilities. Our school was hit as well. There's leak damage there. So the primary damage is to the worship center. There's a big hole in the side of the building that is now covered, and that will be repaired. It's right up at the catwalk. You've probably seen photos of this, but it is wide open. The roof is open at Globe Life Prestonwood right now. It is open, but actually it's covered now, and so we're protecting the building. The catwalk way, way, way up high, we've got that covered and closed, and now it's just a matter of drying out the building. We did lose about 30 trees, and we're sorry about that, but trees can be replaced, and we'll replace them. We did get a lot of water damage in the rooms and walls, so you'll see some of that. But it's not anything that's not reparable. We can get it fixed, and we're going to get it fixed. And so in the meantime, you know, I think our Bible verse for this is Hezekiah 3:10. Blessed are the flexible, for they will not be bent out of shape. Just go look it up. Some guy back there trying to find Hezekiah in his Bible. Thanks for being flexible. Thanks for being faithful. I brought a video. Our team put together a video just to give you a little inspiration this morning before we receive the offering. So we're going to run that right now. Just a short capture of the heart of Prestonwood.
I'll praise in the valley, praise on the mountain. I'll praise when I'm sure, praise when I'm doubting.
what is encouraging me so much is you and more like you, many others who called and said, what can we do? How can we help? We're ready to come. We'll do anything. And this is staff. This is volunteers. This is all of us. So that thrills me to no end. And I'm so grateful for your willingness to come and serve today.
So we are, you know, we're not just staying positive about these things. We are positive, but we are staying prayerful, and we are bringing our praise to God. I will bless the Lord at all times. Say it in each room, whether you are in the chapel or in the commons or right here, repeat after me the word of God. I will bless the Lord at all times.
I will bless the Lord at all times.
His praise will continually be in my mouth. My soul will make its boast in the Lord.
My soul will make its boast in the Lord.
The humble will hear of it and be glad.
The humble will hear of it and be glad.
Oh, magnify the Lord with me.
Oh, magnify the Lord with me.
And come, let us exalt his name together.
And come, let us exalt his name together.
That's good. That is our faith, to praise the Lord anytime, anywhere, under any conditions, any circumstances. And so we praise him through all of this. So many have reached out to volunteer, and many are asking, how can we give to support the rebuild of the church? Well, of course, we have insurance, and we have good insurance, but the deductible is a big number. So it's going to take about, get ready for this, about $3 million to put this back together, deductible. So here's what we're going to do. We are going to start a storm fund, a crisis fund, if you will. In fact, we can put it on the screen right now. We have, there it is, storm damage fund. So you can text that number and you can give right there, 74788. That's our big number here at Plano. And you can text storm and it will get you to a link so that you can give. Obviously, if you're here, you can give in the giving centers and centers and in the boxes and in the offering. We're going to get some envelopes together for this going forward. It may take us all summer to recoup this. I got so many texts from pastor friends and friends all over the country, and just say, what can we do? We're praying for you. We still so appreciate it. But right down the street here at Parker and Preston, there's a church, Grace Church, where Gerald Brooks was the founder, been there for many years. He's a friend. He actually texted me last night and said, our church wants to make a contribution to you, Prestonwood, for your rebuild. And so that's so good. And some of you didn't know about it. You couldn't get here. You couldn't be a part of all that cleanup. By the way, we were done by the middle of the afternoon. All that damage, the trees were stacked. They're still out here on the property, but the worship center was picked up, the parking lots, that the insulation that was in the wall, just yellow insulation, blew everywhere. It was like the yellow shirt you're wearing back there. It was just everywhere. Kind of gave me PTSD looking at your yellow shirt back there. But no, we had it everywhere, and it was all picked up. And we, you know, you're going to see it, you know, different places for a while. But we're going to get it all back together. But you can give. And there is a code also, I believe, for us in the room. So see that code? You can just, for those of you who are tech savvy, you can, we're in the student ministry building here as well as the commons and in our beautiful chapel. You feel like a teenager, those of you in this room? So if you feel like a teenager and you want to go off the code, that's a good thing. Just pull up that code on your phone, open your camera, and pull it up. And you can see it there, and you can give in that way as well. So we're going to give. Now, Deb and I are bringing our gift today. We're not going to take away from our regular tithe to the church because we've got ministries going on. Speaking of student ministry building, our beach camp is coming up. Adventure Week is this week with our boys and girls. That's old school vacation Bible school, Adventure Week. So we've got that going. Ministry will not slow down. And so the mission funds and our regular budget giving, we need to be strong, and we always have summertime giving, and we're on that. But on top of that, if God has blessed you and if this church has blessed you and you'd like to be a part of the relief effort and the repair effort, let's get that. We can knock that $3 million out easy if everyone will participate and be a part of it, where you can do $50, $100, $100,000, whatever you can do. See how I did that? As the Lord has blessed you. And we're going to keep giving to our missions. We're going to keep giving to our ministry. You know, none of that's going to stop because of this, right? We're not going to peel back our budget and our ministry, take care of this. We'll just take care of it in God's time together. Amen? And it's going to be a good, good thing. So again, all of you online, all of you in the chapel, all of you who are in the commons and right here in this room, may God bless you and keep you and make his face shine upon you. Let's pray together. We're going to receive our offering at this time, so the ushers in each room will be lining up to pass those plates. Lord, we come to you as we always do, with faith and joy, even in life's trials. And we know when storms hit that you are the one who calms the storm, especially the storms inside of us. And many people are battling storms and facing difficulties and trials in their lives. And the winds are blowing and the heavy rains are falling and there's trouble. And Lord, we pray for them, for those who are sick, for those who are physically ill. We pray for their healing and their blessing right now. For those who are struggling with financial issues and problems in their family and their marriages and their homes, we pray for them. We pray that our children will grow up to know and love and serve you. We lift them up to you. And we ask you, oh God, that the ministry of our church will be strong and vital during these days, that we will not let up, but we will continue to go on and go out with the name of Jesus, because we know that your message is the hope of the world. So we give with gratitude in our hearts. We give in response to every need that we have, and we give with thanksgiving, because we know it's more blessed to give than to receive. Thank you for every person who's come today and those who are watching on a screen somewhere around the world. May your Holy Spirit draw us together in these days. In Jesus' name, amen.
Tasted and I've seen, and I remember that you bled and died for me. My heart has found its home. In the moments where I cannot see my way, you're the comfort, always giving me your grace. I have tasted and I've seen, and I remember that you.
Is the air breathe. This is the air I breathe. Your holy presence living in me. This is my daily bread. This is my daily bread. Your very word spoken to me, and I desperate for you. And I'm lost without you. Got nothing new. How could I express all my gratitude? I could sing these songs as I often do, but every song must end, and you never. So we worship Him, we sing. So I throw up my hands, praise you again and again. 'Cause all that I have is a hallelujah, a hallelujah. And I know it's not much, I'm nothing else fit for a king. Except for a heart singing hallelujah, hallelujah. We lift Him up, one voice, come on my soul. So come on my soul. Oh, don't you get shy on me, lift up your soul, 'cause you got. Oh, don't you get shy on me, lift up your song. You've got a lion inside of those bones. Get up and praise the Lord. Come on, my soul. Come on, my soul. Oh, don't you get shy on me, lift up your song. 'Cause you've got a lion inside of those bones. Get up and
know, there are many things, in spite of changes through decades and generations and circumstances, one thing remains the same here at our wonderful church that Christ has given us, and that is his praise and the worship of our people that fills this room. Jesus said, if I be lifted up, I will draw all unto myself. And so everywhere he is, we are, and his church. And that song in the first part of that set, and oh, by the way, not by the way, it's very important. The pivot of our tech team and our media team and our worship leadership has been awesome today, and so many others who have worked, everybody's pitched in. But it's so good to be in this room and these rooms. And again, I welcome you online. I welcome you in the chapel, welcome you in the Commons Day, and right here in this room. This is the dwelling place of God. The Holy Spirit lives in us. Whatever room we're in, wherever we gather, indoors or outdoors, the presence of the Lord is in his people. Amen? Amen. So we sing hallelujah, and his praise fills this place when we, his people, gather together. No matter what kind of room it is, it could be just in your room alone where you are watching on a screen today, but the presence of the Lord is there. Another constant of our church is what we're about to do and what we say every week. Take your Bibles, God's Word, and open your Bibles to Nehemiah chapter 4. And we're going to get to that in just a moment. But in this marriage and family series, we're now speaking regarding the home and the family, and specifically children and raising our children. The title of this message is Saving the Family. Saving the Family. We heard Dr. Ben Carson last week, and he brought a powerful word to us, and we're grateful for his stand in our community and in our country. Amen. And his book is all about saving the family and protecting the families. And I want to move from that same message and the message that God has laid on my heart today on saving the family. We are witnessing extreme situations and storms in our nation and in our world. And as I view what's happening in our country, what's happening across the nations of the world, I know that Satan is deploying weapons of mass corruption against your family and against your children. This world system, which is anti-God and anti-Christ and anti-Scripture, is a battleground. The world is a battleground. And in this world, there will be tribulation. So we are in a war. It is a spiritual battle for the souls of our children. The devil, from the very beginning, attacked the family. The first couple in the Garden of Eden, he attacked them, and then ultimately their children. And we have seen Satan through the generations, through millenniums, attacking the family and specifically children. He even sought to take out the Lord Jesus Christ when he was born and attacked the children in the region. This is always Satan's prey, Satan's ploy to destroy, diminish the family. And your children and mine, our grandchildren, are in the target zone. And so faithfully and fully parenting our children includes a commitment to Christ, a commitment to God's church, a commitment to one another. There is no greater joy in life than to know that your children are walking in truth. That's what the Bible says, that they love God, that they love one another, that they love people, that the Holy Spirit dwells in them, that they are believing God's truth, that they are walking according to God's word from generation to generation. And so because that is the greatest goal of our lives, our children, our families, the generations even to come, we know that we are in for the fight of our lives. We are. This is war. And it means that we cannot be passive, but we must be active in the war as good soldiers of Jesus Christ. And we must stand up and fight back against the enemies that are within and the enemies that are without. What happened to the side of our beautiful worship center, I'm told by the engineers, is that there was pressure, external pressure, the winds up to 90 miles an hour beating against the side of that building. And then within there was a combustion because of the openness of the worship center. There was this vacuum, if you will, inside. And what we had literally was not just the wind from the outside blowing the side of the building open, but it was a kind of explosion. And this explosion opened the big hole in the side of the building. And I think that's parallel to what is happening in our culture right now and to our families in these days, to our country, because there's all these external pressures that come from without, but then there's the internal infernal combustion that comes from within as Satan attacks. So this country, Dr. Carson said it last week, if our country goes down, it will probably not be from without, enemies from without, but enemies from within. And we know we have an internal and an infernal enemy, the devil himself. Therefore, Nehemiah 4:14, and the story of Nehemiah, apropos, is about rebuilding walls. We're doing some rebuilding and repairing here. But after the walls were built, the people of God worked together. They stood in their places with a sword in one hand and a trowel in another hand, and they overcame their situation. And then there was enemies from within the camp of Israel that sought to attack Nehemiah and the people of God. So this is what Nehemiah, the leader of the people, said, verse 14, Nehemiah 4, "Then as I looked over the situation," this is the New Living Translation, "as I looked over the situation, I called together the nobles and the rest of the people and said to them, 'Don't be afraid of the enemy. Remember the Lord who is great and glorious.'" And watch this, "Fight. Fight for your brothers, your sons, your daughters, your wives, and your homes." Amen. This is a fight for your family. It's a fight for the family in our nation. I think about Noah. I was thinking about Noah a lot this week with those rains coming down. It said in Hebrews 11, "By faith, Noah built an ark for the saving of his family in a very corrupt generation, in which everyone had turned away from God. Though they were given opportunity to repent and return to the Lord, they rejected God's plan. They rejected God's ark of safety. And ultimately, only Noah and his family were saved." But I see that verse and I thought, here's Noah, a man who was a dad and a husband. And he did what God told him to do. And he built an ark. He constructed a boat for the saving of his family. And in our corrupt generation, in which the flood tides of judgment are on the way, we need to do some building and some battling that our families will be saved. So how do we do that? Number one, protect your children. Protect your children. Be protected. We know that children are valuable, gifts from the Lord. And because they are valuable, they are precious to us. And because they are valuable, they are also vulnerable. Our children, our little ones, are vulnerable to the attacks of the enemy in these days. And one of our jobs as parents, of course, is to protect our children physically, but even more importantly, is to protect our children spiritually. We awakened this past Tuesday morning in our area with those alarms going off, the siren that the storm was on the way. Well, in one sense, this message is a siren. It's an alarm. I bring you this word not to scare you, but to prepare you and to help you prepare your children for what is ahead. We are on full alert, and the storm is raging around us. And we need to pay attention, therefore, to the voices and the values that are being shouted into the heads, into the minds of the most valuable and the most vulnerable among us, which are our children. Amen. Satan, like a roaring lion, seeks whom he may devour. and the little ones are most vulnerable to the prey of Satan. Satan's primary weapon, are you listening? Are you alert? Yes. Satan's primary weapon is the lie. Yes. The lie, deception, and distortion of the truth. And so, of course, Satan will infiltrate churches. He will infiltrate schools, both public schools and private schools. He will infiltrate governments because this warfare is against principalities and powers and rulers of darkness in high places. He will infiltrate media and entertainment and corporations. Every aspect of the culture of the world, Satan is active. And what Satan wants to do is to indoctrinate your children with the lies of this world. The lies of the devil himself. Lies regarding moral purity. Lies regarding sexual identity. Lies regarding marriage. Lies regarding the family. This is so-called Gay Pride Month in America. What is there to be proud about? Proud of your sin? Proud of your rebellion against God? We cannot allow the lies of Satan to penetrate the vulnerable hearts and minds of our children, even as this societal, systemic sin rages around us. And the big lie, of course, the big, big lie is evolution. That we are nothing but advanced apes. That a child is nothing but a naked ape. That we are here by accident or chance. And science, so-called pseudoscience, has indoctrinated our children and our kids to believe that they are animals. And is there any wonder that many then start living like animals? If you teach a child that they are just a higher form of an animal, then you are destroying their soul. And no wonder, therefore, children in this generation are living in fear. They're living in anxiety. They're living in extreme loneliness. They're living with all kinds of emotional health issues. The suicide rate among teenagers, especially young teenage girls, is skyrocketing. This is a full frontal attack on the home. And what we're dealing with in the world system, I said it earlier, anti-God, anti-Christ, anti-Bible, what we're dealing with is very evil people. The Revelation speaks of the evil doers. So these are not good people. These are the people of this world. They are the people of Satan himself. And these are on the march. Parents, you better be alive to this. You better be alert to this and active, relentlessly active in your children's lives, because your children are the devil's target zone. The world will shape your children's lives if you don't. Just the whole issue of screens and technology. I hope you're monitoring what your children are viewing on their screens. The data is conclusive. The damage to the brains of children that the screens and technology is producing. And we don't even know where that's leading. We're responsible, not the world, to shape our children's world view according to the Bible. We are to live according to righteous biblical principles ourselves. Yes, there's a war, and it's a fight not only for the future of your family, but for the eternal destiny of your children and your grandchildren after them. So be protected. Satan's desire is to capture your children's hearts and enslave them to a morally, godless, sinfully, powerfully damaging worldview and world system. The Bible says in Proverbs 4:23 that we are to guard our hearts. Keep your heart with all vigilance, for out of it flow the issues of life. What we're talking about when we're talking about protecting your children is not just moral behavior on the external. not behavior modification, but to protect their hearts. Because the hearts of your children, that's the target. Parents, you are a freedom fighter. Satan's desire is to enslave your children, to enslave them, to capture their minds, their hearts, their souls. And your first job as a parent is to keep them free, to fight for their freedom, to help them live in the liberty that is in God's word, in Jesus Christ. Teach them, therefore, God's word. Protect them by training them in godly ways and model right living, righteous living before them. Participate in their lives. Don't let someone else parent your children. Give them godly guidance. And above all, give them unconditional love, the love of God that will not let your children go, and neither should you. You are a shield and you are a fortress, and your home is a fortress for your family. So prepare your children to face the attacks of the enemy. Help them to put on the armor of God each day. Pray with them, pray for them, pray over them as Satan prays on them. I assure you, Satan is not passive and the world is not going to let up. So you must relentlessly resist and fight back by loving and leading the way with your children to follow Christ. Ultimately, your children need Jesus. They need salvation. Your child is born with a fallen nature, just as you. You say, how did that happen? They got the disease of sin from you and me. We passed it on. So the ultimate goal is the heart of your child. They would give their hearts for Jesus. Yes, to be a provider. Yes, and many provide for their children, but they don't protect their children. Are you protecting your children? Secondly, not only are we to protect our children, but we are to correct our children. Ephesians 6 and verse 4. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. In other words, with God's word in your hand and in your heart, practice godly discipline with your family. Amen. Bringing them up. Notice you have to bring them up. If you just let them go, guess where they're going? They're going in the wrong direction. The Bible says in Psalm 58 that we are born estranged from the womb. We go from the womb speaking lies. That's why you don't have to teach your child to lie. You have to teach them not to lie. You don't have to teach a child to steal. You have to teach them not to steal. So we are to bring them up in the discipline of the Lord. Children, according to the psalmist, Psalm 127, are like arrows in the hand of a mighty warrior. An arrow, you know, starts as a twig, just as a branch. We've got stacks and stacks of crooked branches out there now in our parking lot or in the fields. And somebody's going to take that wood, I presume, and do something with it, but a soldier might take a piece of wood in the ancient days, and it was crooked and broken, and yet shape it into a powerful weapon. And so that picture reminds us that we, as dads and moms, we have been given these twigs, these branches, if you will, and we are to shape them, and then we are to point them in the direction of the enemy. Left to themselves, again, they will go in the wrong direction, and that's why we discipline our children. This is why we correct our children. Proverbs 22, verse 6 says, train up a child in the way that he should go, and even when he's old, he will not depart from it. So children need direction, and with that direction comes discipline. Proverbs 13, 24. Whoever spares the rod hates his son, but he who loves him is diligent to discipline him. Well, I just love him too much to spank him or discipline him. No, you don't love him enough to discipline that child. Stop trying to be your child's best friend. That will come later, I might add. The goal is to raise your children to become your friends later in life. And I would say our children and their families, they're our friends now, but I don't think our children were always calling me their best friend along the way. Amen. When discipline was do. And there doesn't have to be a lot of rules, but when you have the rules, if they break them, make sure there's responsibility and accountability in the breaking the rules. Remember this, you're not just to be their fun dad or their friend mom. Where are the adults in the house who understands that parenting their children involves correcting their children? And so very important. If you don't discipline your children, someone else will have to. Proverbs 13:24, again, whoever spares his rod hates his son. Because if you don't love them enough to correct them, then you're putting them in a place to be corrected in a much severe way. Discipline should be loving. It should be consistent. It should never be with anger. Say, well, my children are such little angels. I just can't correct them. Well, you're going to find as their legs grow longer, their wings will grow shorter. No, they're not little angels. They're little human beings. And therefore, because we love our children, we don't just let them go. We bring them up in the discipline of the Lord. A lot more can be said about that, and maybe I will on Father's Day. But the third point is, in saving the family, protect your children, correct your children, and instruct your children. Be corrective, be protective, and be instructive. Because that same verse in Ephesians chapter 5 says, bring them up in the nurture and in the teaching or the training of the Lord. There are immoral ideologies that are breaking down the family and culture, as we have said earlier, the belief systems of this world. So the only real counteraction, resistance to a lie, is the truth. The only way to defeat an ideologue, an ideology, is with truth. And therefore, we must be active, engaged in training and teaching our children. Here's the way it's put. You've just heard the New Testament admonition, but listen to what Moses said in the Old Testament. Deuteronomy 5:29. Oh, that they had such a heart. There it is again, the heart. Oh, that they had such a heart as this always, to fear me and to keep all my commandments. This is God. That it might go well with them and with their descendants forever. And then he adds on the first part of chapter 6 of Deuteronomy. Now this is the commandment, the statutes and the rules that the Lord your God commanded me to teach you, that you may do them in the land to which you are going over to possess it. This is right before they were entering the promised land. That you may fear the Lord your God, you and your son's son, by keeping all his statutes and his commandments, which I command you all the days of your life, and that your days may be long. Hear therefore, O Israel, and be careful to do them, that it may go well with you, and that you may multiply greatly as the Lord, the God of your fathers, has promised you in a land flowing with milk and honey. This is a dark, dark world. And your children will get lost if you don't teach them and train them in the way. Psalm 119, 105, thy word, O God, is a lamp unto my feet, a light unto my path. And so it is. So bring your children up in the discipline and the training of the Lord. Government schools and even some so-called Christian schools will not teach your children truth. They just won't. In fact, for many in the public school system, in our government schools, their stated goal with their ideology, their left-wing beliefs, is to indoctrinate your children. And these infidels will destroy your children's lives if you let them. Godless teaching will corrupt your children, their minds and their hearts. And this world system is preying on your children. P-R-E-Y, not P-R-A-Y. Instruct your children, construct your children in the Word of God and the gospel of Jesus Christ. I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. We don't have to back up to science, anybody's science. We live by the truth of Scripture, the Word of God. In fact, all these lies about science are merely the lies spewed out of hell to destroy your family. And you need to make sure your children are in a church. Now, I'm talking to some of you who are watching online right now. You need to make sure that your children are in a church, and your grandchildren, if you can do anything about it, are in a church where the Word of God is taught without apology. Because the fact is, many churches are woke, many churches are soft, many churches are soft woke. Many churches are flying rainbow flags. They're not preaching the Word of God. And if you are in a church like that, you need to saturate that place with your absence and get your children out. Because in many churches, the stated goal is to diminish and dilute and distort and ultimately to deny the Word of God. It's the same old lie that showed up with the serpent in the Garden of Eden when he said, "Has God said?" And any church or any preacher, any person that puts a question mark on the Word of God is only a mouthpiece for the devil himself. Many churches, the worship is weak and empty and cold and lifeless and dead. So, instruct your children in the Word of God. Make sure they're in a church where they're being taught the Word of God. Make sure they get to the places where they can hear God's Word, whether it's student camp or a vacation Bible school, adventure week here, whatever it takes. Get your children here. Lead your children. Start at home teaching God's Word. I grew up on my grandfather's knee teaching me God's Word, along with my parents. Now, finally, a word of encouragement. I know that this can all seem overwhelming to us in this generation. That it's just too much. Parents themselves are in incredible distress and stress itself. And the challenge is great. But I want us to do what Nehemiah told the children of Israel to do. He said, don't be afraid of the enemy. Greater is he that is in you than he is in the world. You can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. Don't be afraid of the enemy. Respect your enemy, but don't be afraid of your enemy. And then he said, remember the Lord your God, great and glorious. Look to God for grace and power and strength, and he will give it to you, even when it seems the charge is too hard. The most important thing you can do is to lead your own children to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Never downplay childhood conversion. Did you know the best time for a person to come to Jesus Christ is when they're a child? And I tell the children when they come to me from their new Christians class, I say the best time to give your life is when you are young, because you have an entire life now to live for Jesus. It's glorious, it's gracious when God saves us anywhere, anytime in life. And adult conversions are powerful, and often God saves people out of sin. But God can save children from sin as well, and some terrible mistakes in their lives if they will come to Jesus early. And you as a parent, mom, dad, we have the opportunities to lead our children to Jesus. It is normal and natural for a child to come to Jesus early on in their life unless somebody stops them. And what did Jesus say about that? It would be better for a man to have a millstone hung around his neck and thrown into the depths of the sea than to hinder one of my little ones from coming to me. So don't stop your children in any way. Encourage them. I love the story of Mark chapter 10 when the disciples were grumbling because all the children were hustling around Jesus. Jesus loved the children and they loved him and they wanted to be with him, as is true today. And when the disciples complained about this, he said, let the little children come to me, for as such is the kingdom of God. In fact, if you're going to ever come to Jesus, you will come like a child. Don't get the idea that in order to be a Christian, a child of God, you have to grow up first, or that you have to have an adult mindset and a knowledge of all these things that you don't understand as a child. No. In fact, Jesus said every adult has to become like a little child to be converted. Amen. So come to Jesus like a child, because Jesus welcomes all his children to himself. You come to Jesus with personal faith in him. So make it your number one priority with your children and even your grandchildren to bring them to faith in Jesus Christ, that they would publicly follow him and openly confess him and be baptized and become a part of God's church and grow up in their faith and make a difference in the world. Fight. Fight for your family. Get in this battle. You can't go AWOL on this. You can't be running around fighting your own battles yourself, just for yourself. You got to fight for your kids. Make the kids a priority. Any sacrifice that you need to make as a parent, make that sacrifice in order that your children would grow up in the discipline and in the training of the Lord. Amen. All right, I'm going to ask that every head be bowed and every eye closed. And as always, we're going to give an invitation. The ministers of our church are going to be in this room and in the chapel, along with the commons, to receive those who will come forward and put their faith in Jesus Christ. Here's how we do it. We simply sing, and as we sing, the Holy Spirit works, and Christians are praying, and people come to Jesus. It happens every week, and it's going to happen today. You don't know Christ as your Savior. Mom, Dad, Grandmom, Grandpa, today's the day to give your life to Jesus, because you ought to be able to say, follow me as I follow Christ. Follow me as I follow Christ. Are you following Jesus? I'm going to ask you to come forward and openly confess your faith if you don't know him. And I thought about this morning as I was preparing and praying that we would have children sitting with their parents today. And you're a child, it's time that you make your public profession of faith. And I know it's scary in front of a lot of people. But I remember as a little boy actually being very excited about going forward and telling the pastor that I wanted to follow Jesus. And you can be too. I would encourage you as a little boy or girl, why don't you just turn to your parents right now as I did and say, I want to go forward. I'm just a child. I'm just a boy. I'm just a girl. But I want to go forward, Mom. I want to go forward, Dad, and give my life to Jesus. And I want to be baptized as soon as possible, that the whole world can know that I am a Christian. So in every room where there are children, maybe you're sitting with a grandparent, you could say to your grandparent, I want to go forward. I want to give my life to Jesus. Don't be ashamed. Don't be afraid. It's the greatest decision you can make. Dads and moms, lead the way. Bring your children into the fellowship of this church. You've been thinking about and praying about a church home, a church family. Today's the day that you unite with Prestonwood in this community of faith. So bring yourself, bring your husband, your wife, your family, and follow Jesus right into the fellowship of Prestonwood today. If you'd like prayer, we'll pray for you this morning. We have people stationed in all three major rooms, and online there's a number. 74788 takes the word Jesus. And there are people standing by to speak with you online and help you walk right into your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. So, Lord, we give you this time of decision. We pray right now that your Holy Spirit will work in every one of our hearts, reminding us of these truths, that we would remember you, that we would not be afraid, but that we would step up to the challenge of our generation for our children and our children's children. For we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Would you stand up?